This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, presents by transcription The Valiant Women.
I'd have you see Molly as I remember her. Tiny, frail, wearing the snow-white hairs of her 76 years as a crown of accomplishment. But more important, she radiated that indomitable courage which not so many years ago carried women like her across the plains and deserts in wagon trains and ox carts. As for me, well, at that moment I might just as well have been a redskin looking into the barrel of a rifle, preparing to bite the dust and find the happy hunting ground. All she really said was,
"What are you trying to tell me, Doctor?"
"Just this, Molly. For the first time in your life, you're facing something bigger than even you can handle."
"Nonsense. There's only one thing I bow down to, and that's the stupidity of certain members of the human race, including some in this town I could name. I suppose you're telling me I'm going to die."
That's a little more blunt than I usually like to put it. Please sit down."
"Well, let's have it. How long am I good for, young man?"
"Molly, the machinery's wearing out. It happens to the best of us, just like that car of yours. You wouldn't drive it around at 80 miles an hour, but at 20, 30, there's a lot of mileage in it yet. Otherwise..."
"Have you heard of the wonderful one-horse shay that was built in such a logical way it ran 100 years to a day? Although I do seem to remember that it went to pieces all at once."
"Right you are. All at once and nothing first, just as bubbles do when they burst. You might bear that in mind, Molly."
"Imagine anyone your age actually being familiar with Oliver Wendell Holmes."
"I'm familiar with a few other things, too, such as the condition of your heart."
"Oh, now, now."
"No, don't interrupt. Now, these are doctor's orders. No excitement, no emotional strain, no hard physical work. You've always driven yourself too much. It's no secret that half the things that ever got accomplished in this town were stage managed by you. You've raised 3 families.
"That's ridiculous."
"Your own, your widowed sister's."
"Simple mathematics makes that 2.
"And a 3rd intangible family of half the kids in the neighborhood. They all adore you. I know, I was one of them."
"Don't you have patience waiting? I'll run along."
"No, don't go. What's the matter, Molly? You've got something on your mind."
"Oh, another fight. An important one this time. And I don't leave the battlefield in the middle of a skirmish. Nor will I be carried out of this one on a stretcher."
"Can I help?"
"No, no, you're too busy."
"Try me."
"It's a long, long story. And it starts with one word. Apathy. An attitude of, I don't care. Let somebody else do the worrying, and it couldn't happen here."
I can't forget the earnestness with which she spoke. Although only a phrase or two here and there of her exact words come back to me, such as...
"There are so few of us who realize the danger."
Or again...
"If we don't volunteer to learn the dangers of attack and act upon them, who will? Just a handful of women in this town, that's all."
And then once more...
"And if that bomb falls with its searing power and the radiation sickness and the horror of a war we can't control, it's going to be too late. We've got to learn now."
Here and there another phrase comes back.
"It isn't that they're callous. They don't know, don't realize what we women in civil defense are doing. Why we have to teach the things to others who may die unless we do. And you want me to give up with that undone?"
"No," I said, "I don't."
"All right, then. Here's our problem in a nutshell. A few of us women here in town have an idea. We know it's a good one. We want to use the county fair to do a job of education for everyone in this district, to teach them the principles of self-preservation. We want demonstrations. We want space. We want cooperation. We want people to learn to register, just as they'd have to do if the bomb did ever come. We want to set up an emergency first aid dressing tent, to stockpile cast-off clothing, just as if the real thing were around the corner. We want everyone to buy identification tags, emergency feeding. We'll show them how to do it. Communication center, to show them how it works in an emergency."
"Hey, you're losing me, Molly. Take it easy."
"As the kids all say these days, this is bigger than both of us. You see why we need help.
It won't be easy. After all, the county fair is pretty sacred.
You don't know how inviolate. I've tried. All right, I'll make a deal with you. You swing it for me, and I'll keep calm and take it easy and make this my last project. That's a promise, Doctor, and I keep them.
Now, hold on, Molly. I haven't said I...
They tell me it's bad for a doctor's professional reputation to have a healthy patient die on him for no apparent reason. I look healthy enough, and everybody knows who's taking care of me. Better think it over.
Hey, that's blackmail. I'll...
What?
I'll see what I can do. And don't forget to take that medicine. Well, I did try. Being a doctor, I knew the importance of arousing the people of our county to the urgent need for knowledge in case of atomic attack. So I tried to sell Molly's and her women's big idea. What did I get? This sort of thing.
Now, look, Doc, you know I'd do anything I could for you. But just consider this thing from the point of view of dollars and cents. Who'd pay for it? As chairman of the county fair committee, I've got an obligation to the community to make this thing go. Let's face it, we've got to be self-supporting, and that means livestock, poultry, baking, and all that stuff the ladies go for. And that eats up the entry fees.
So you see, we got to charge for all the concessions. We've got commercial outfits buying space like mad, but even that's going to be rough when you consider that what we're paying those flying circus fellas. Now there's going to be a show. Four of them airplanes flying upside down and doing all them their tricks right where everybody in the grandstand can see them.
Adam, here, Doc, let's face it. Who cares about civil defense stuff anyway? Just a bunch of hysterical women. And you know how they come all unbuttoned anytime they hear a rumor Russia's got some atom bomb.
Gotta be reasonable, that's all. I don't say they ain't some space over by the cow sheds that might be used for a first aid tent. But good golly, man, you talk about everybody registering and getting a dog tag.
Now, Molly, what do you mean you want it in writing? We'll do all we can, but I don't care if my wife is mixed up in this thing. I'm the boss in my own family.
Okay, Molly. Just quit racing your motor, and I'll tell you what we've done for you. What's that? You never said anything about 5,000 balloons to give away to the kids who get their families to register for identification, and you gotta have what? 50 feet square to store them clothes and bed and people is donating for a dad-blamed emergency that ain't ever coming along anyway. The answer is no. No. No!
No use fighting Molly once she made her mind up and me to do a little groundwork. So that brings us to the third day of the county fair with things really going in overdrive. Oh, Molly was around all right, but she was taking it easy with that worn-out heart of hers. I'll say one thing for Molly. She told the truth about always keeping a promise. I looked in on the tent the women had set up on the fairgrounds as an emergency dressing station, waved at her while she lay propped up in a bed on a folding cot while some of the ladies took turns using her arms to practice first aid on, and came over to her as she beckoned.
Well, young man, I guess you won. I sort of thought you'd back out on me. Seems like there's some hope for the younger generation, after all.
Our trouble is we're dominated by your generation, Molly. No stamina, no fortitude. Let ourselves be bossed around by... You're taking that prescription I gave you.
I keep my bargains.
How's it going?
Oh, right as rain. People are interested, really interested in what we have to tell them. Even signing up to do some volunteer work when the fair is over. Fire wardens, block wardens, first aid crews, communications people, rescue squads, the whole works. All we needed was a chance to show them how vital our work is. Like the importance of registration, in case families ever get separated in a bomb attack, or any disaster for that matter. Well, Doctor, did you come to escort me to the flying circus?
Well, I'm not sure I have time.
Oh, that's enough, girls, that's enough. Find another volunteer. I have a couple of things to ask you, Doctor, now that I have time. And besides, you look all tired out yourself. I want to talk to you about your health.
What happened next is history. You heard the newscast, read the papers, saw pictures of the aftermath. All I know is that one of the stunt pilots revved the motor, started for the takeoff,
Then Molly grabbed my arm and said,
Doctor, that plane has flames coming out of it.
Then just as it was airborne, there was a short, explosive report. And then in seconds, the plane had crashed into the grandstand.
Will all civil defense volunteers report at once to the civil defense area? This is urgent.
This wasn't play acting. This wasn't something for a vague tomorrow. This was it, right now. The burned, the dead, the dying. I hoped and prayed that Molly's volunteers would act with promptness, that there'd be dressings, bandages, and medicines, that communications would send out far-flung calls for doctors, nurses, and more doctors. That first aid in this area, strewn with burned and mangled human beings, would stop more lives from ebbing until we doctors could take care of them. That. And then I felt a tug upon my sleeve and looked down at Molly's bleeding eyes.
My promise. You release me now.
Yes, I'll release you. Get in there and work. And she was gone. I think we all learned something on that tragic day.
15 dead already. A lot of them burned beyond recognition. Hadn't been for Molly's dog tags, we still wouldn't be sure who some of them are.
The missing. Only parents know the sick and hollow feeling that comes from lack of knowledge whether somewhere lies a small and still and lifeless body.
For God's sake, Doctor, can't you tell me? I'm not asking any favors as chairman of the fair, but I helped you out. I went to bat for Molly. You've got to help me find her.
Now, calm down, Harry. We've got her registered and know right where she is. She's barely hurt at all. Just come with me.
Time slipped, too, but it was night already. We'd done all we could. The whole state had rallied round, and we hard-pressed, weary folks had been relieved from tasks too grim for telling. I turned to Molly.
I know. I'm going home now. And you were right. I'm not as young as I once was. But I'll be all right. Just knowing that if it hadn't been for what my women in civil defense stood for, fought for, and I think would die for. If it hadn't been for them, I hate to think how much worse it would have been.
Are you all right? Need anything?
Nothing. Have you heard of the wonderful one-horse shay?
That was built in such a logical way?
That it ran 100 years to a day. So you see, at 76, I've got 24 more years to be calm, relaxed, and no good in. Then I'll go to pieces all at once. Remember the last two lines, young man? End of the wonderful one-horse shay. Logic is logic. That's all I say.
Next day, when they came to offer their formal thanks and their gratitude and to give her a solemn pledge of support for civil defense, Molly was gone. Her great fighting heart had stopped in the night. But that was the way, after all, she'd have wanted to go. God bless you, Molly.
The Valiant Women was written by Jack Weir Lewis and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Linden.